September 24th, 2021, it's a Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you.
for Pedro show. Happy Friday. Started off the show with, where's the fucking list, what? So there it is. Crepuscule, right? It's French. With Nelly. Live, John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk. Very important 9 months in his life. It was his B-Day yesterday, Mr. Coltrane. Floated around a picture of him with his wife Alice in our last tour. Her birthday, 27 August. Just in case you're curious. Then we had Crash 45 RPM CDC versus Carnival Orchestra. Orchestra. Maybe that was close. So sorry. Apologies. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I have with me Brother Randolph Carter. Welcome aboard, Randolph.
Thank you.
Yeah. That, what was that band, that progeny? Orcana?
That project is two projects, kind of. So Carnival de Carnitas was...
Oh, Carnitas, like that Spanish.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, I know it's not spelled that fucking way. Ah, that's wonderful. And Carnitas, of course, is tiny meats, but it's usually pork. I had some tacos in the studio in Hollywood. And, Ocean Way. It's called Universal now. I hadn't been there for 20 years. But look, I'm very interested in your journey through music. Oh, we got to thank the Brutal Sound Effects crew for the connect.
Yes, thank you.
Now, please, Randolph, bring us your earliest musical-related memory of your life.
I believe that would be around 1978 when I saw Steve Martin perform King Tut on Saturday Night Live.
You know, he was good on banjo.
Yeah.
I mean, not
and he even played banjo back then during those shows.
No, I think he goes way back. Like, he went to Long Beach State, I think, for a little bit or something. But somebody was telling me, and not for yucks, right, can really play the motherfucker. The pad you grew up, was there instruments? Musical instruments.
So I grew up in a number of different pads. Aunts, uncles, parents, grandparents. There was a grandma who had an organ. Otherwise, no.
Okay. Did you jump on that organ?
Only when she wasn't home. We weren't allowed to touch it.
But you did. Like stealth, stealth. And now, did you try to figure it out, or did you use it like a percussion? Did you like bang on it, or try to get trippy ass, use all 10 fingers? Maybe the 10 toes also?
Yeah, I got frustrated trying to make real music, so then I made drone. I made annoying music.
Well, yeah, you know, I think it's relative, right? Like somebody was, I was talking to my buddy Peter, and he was talking, you know, I was playing the wrong notes. I said, not wrong notes, notes you don't like, for now.
Yeah, and it turned out that it was annoying to a lot of other people, but it went on to be a passion for me, making droney, annoying music.
Well, no, John Cage said something like, even the most beautiful whatever, Mr. Mozart or Mr. Bach, is playing, but if you try to talk to somebody, fuck is that annoying. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with the good notes. Right? So relative and stuff. And now, I think with arts and aesthetic things, because people try to extend this to, like, kind of ethics, but I think in aesthetics with the A first... Yeah, you can be like that. We gotta have some fucking loose shit. So let me ask you. First record you bought with your own money?
The first one I remember buying with my own money, I remember being super excited, coming home with two records from Cosmic Airplane in Salt Lake City, Utah. One of them was Christian Death's Only Theater of Pain.
Oh, Roz.
Yeah.
Very sad about him. Good band. Orange County kids. And interesting band, but very sad about him. And what was the other one?
The other one was Susie and the Banshees.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The singles collection, and I forget the name of it.
I never had any albums, but I had that single, Hong Kong Garden.
Right, that was on there. That was on that best of.
A great guitar man. We lost him. I saw him in the singer Buzzcocks quit and made a band called Magazine, and he was playing guitar, so I'm at the Whiskey. What was the first gig you saw?
My dad took me to see The Who.
Who was on drums? Was it Kenny Jones?
I think it was Kenny Jones.
Yeah.
It was the first tour after Moon died.
You know, Kenny Jones, great in Faces and Small Faces, and I guess Pete's solo records, but man, I don't know about with The Who. Maybe because of Mooney, right? So let's get on to school. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
No. Nope.
That's okay. It's okay. I'm just curious. You know what I mean? All things lead up to now, and so until I get this mind reading thing, I'm going to have to use words, so I might ask awkward questions. I'm sorry. So mainly your music, you expressing yourself, was through your grandma's organ at the beginning.
At the beginning, that pretty rapidly turned into using those old tape recorders you could get at school that were like flat, and you could have the buttons that you'd pop the tape.
Yeah, but
tape
I think the medium was cassette, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
mechanical buttons. Yeah, no servos or relays or shit. Yeah, they were like mechanical. Yeah, you make your fingers like a peace sign.
Right, and if you have one of those and you have like a stereo in a house, you can start multi-tracking really poorly.
I'm curious, how did you stumble onto that? Someone turn you on? You read something?
I haven't the slightest idea.
So it was just an individual, personal accident.
I would say most everything at that time was just trying to figure out what irritated adults the most.
Music was kind of a device.
it was definitely a way of
defending yourself, maybe.
of irritating whichever adults happened to be around. Yeah. And it very soon turned into irritating the punks that I lived
right,
with
people your
as
own
a teenager.
Yeah, people your own age and younger, right? No. So what you're trying to tell me is your cassette was using as an instrument, a recorder.
Yeah. And also there was like a motor from some toy that I would just rest on metal objects and it would just kind of grind, and you can hear a lot of that in the Carnival de Carnitas piece that you played. Cause that's in that band, we built all of our own instruments and they were all automated.
Now, so you say were. So what, you had other people doing this stuff? You weren't just man alone.
In my 20s, yeah.
Oh, by 20. No, let's go before that. I want to know what led up to this stuff, you know? So first you're on the organ, then you're on the tape recorder, then you're with the electric motor. Now, do you get any kind of garage band, basement band, bedroom band during high school, junior high?
No. Okay. I had a project, and it was called Canceled. And in theory, it would have been me making noise, but since I insisted that any flyer have the word canceled put across it in big red letters, or I wouldn't perform, everybody thought I was an ass, and nobody liked that idea.
You mean it was a gig?
Well, I told people if I would play, but I had the gigs, the flyers all had to say canceled.
So nobody would ever done gigs that never happened.
Right, they never happened in my bedroom. They happened in my bedroom.
Gary, the singer of the Dicks, told me, you know, before they even wrote their first song, they made flyers because they thought if you put up flyers of your band around town, that would make the other dudes really want to make a band. But yeah, I think he called them fake bands because they only existed as flyers.
Yeah, Canceled was not quite that fake, but yeah, we never left the bedroom and it was just me.
Okay. Do you have tapes of this? Do you old stuff?
I don't. I made a lot of tapes.
Yeah.
I would do a lot of like one of a single or like small editions, but even those tapes tended to be the spirit of the music being, I guess, in people's faces or anti-music. Like the tapes that I would give my friends, I would unscrew them and take the tape off the spool at the end.
Yeah.
So that if you ever put it in a cassette deck,
you play it,
it would just spin.
You play it once. Oh, yeah. No, you wouldn't play it at all because, once it ran out, right?
Once it ran out, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a great device.
So stuff like that, I would super glue parts.
You're provocative.
That's a very kind way of saying it, yeah.
Like you like the I word, irritating. Okay, I'll use the P word, provocative. Look, you gave me this stuff called Versus, but this ain't VS. I remember sharing the stage with a band called VS. In fact, I broke their bass, not on purpose. Mine broke it. Yeah, fuck. Stupid what? And this is called Elegy for Mother of Glass.
Thank you. scent of cold air. And the cold air itself raw and unreasonable. I can see my breath, and it's suddenly a thrill. Sooner or later, just around the corner, you'll have something of your own.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. half closed, look out glass eye.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Verses, which is kind of a little bilge or adversary or whatever, contrary of Mr. Buckley would say, or some bullshit. He's just showing your ass folded over in his chair. Elegy for Mother of Glass. That's an image. Neil Turpin, brand new out of Leeds, something of your own. And then Black Humor. I know a Black Humor fan.
Oh, yeah.
Burn the Welcome, Matt. What a record, man. I love that record. I remember it came out, and I got it just because of the cover, because it was actually Aretha Franklin. They just painted their name over
it. I bought it as soon as I saw it in the record store. So what? This is the hand-making things.
Yeah, right.
It just was so... so inspiring. And that later happened with Carolina.
Yeah, I was going to say, that brutal sound effects component crew.
Exactly.
Right. Then we have Vermis Dolimbo, Limbo Worms out of Brazil, brand new album. And this is Forca. Pat Kane out of D.C. area with Gap from his new album. It's beautiful. I love it. Bomas Plenty of brand new stuff, Deep Blues. No, I think this is older, but they got new shit coming. They've been collaborating almost real time. Internet, they've figured out schemes to deal with the latency by putting spaces so you don't have to be sock tight, right? Like Jim Brown would ask Mr. Stubblefield. Or so finally, Mavis. Okay. Were you aware of this cassette culture, people trading cassette? And now I'm not talking mixtapes, because that's important, too. But cats, like what you were doing in your bedroom, Al Margolis, people like this.
I was not, no.
Okay.
Later, in my late, probably in college.
Did you go to college for music?
No.
No. I'm just asking. Some dudes do.
I didn't.
That's okay.
College was really important to my musical journey because I went to an alternative school, and my very first professor, although he wasn't teaching music, was the composer Ingram Marshall.
Wow.
And he turned me on to so much stuff and just kind of blew my mind hearing his music, because he was a student of minimalism, but he also worked with field recordings a lot.
Yeah.
And that went on to kind of be my realm for most of my life. So I think although I didn't study music with him, hanging out with him and just talking with him and having him give the suggestions he made,
sure,
like having him sort of as a friend.
The connect. Those things, I can't tell you how important people are to people. Everybody thinks it's some kind of like, shortcut, but there's something about that, man. We just lost Cabaret Voltaire, man, right, Mr. Kirk?
Yeah.
Got to see him once. and they were a three-piece, right? And then they went to a two-piece. That third man went to the BBC, Mr. Watson. Same name as my missing man guitar. And he got into this field recording stuff. Are you aware of that? For the BBC, I think he made them for it. So they'd have some kind of background stuff. Their docs and shit. Yeah. So and then the other two guys, you know, like the Cabs, I guess is the nickname, kind of turned disco. But, man, there is an album called Mix Up. Maybe the first one. That huge effect on us. Minuteman. So what do you think about that? Yeah, so field recording interested you. Oh, again, the cassette recorder. Yeah, the whole idea of using a recorder as an instrument.
Yeah, and I think also I listened to a lot of music and read a lot of about music before I ever seriously made music. And I would be really surprised if Cage, because I had read all of his books by the time I was out of high school. And I think John Cage's idea, like the idea that you could play plants, like and make a piece of music, that opening up spoke to me, and the fact that I made things and made music on them, and it just didn't sound like other people's music. But it did. I mean, some of it would sound like other bands who were breaking music, like Black Humor. You know, there are tracks on there that they don't sound like you would think. A lot of people would say that's not music, and that's what.
Well, fuck,
so brilliant.
That's like the bad wrong notes thing. You just don't like it. That's it. See, people mix aesthetics up with ethics. Fucked up thing, and that's why we got jackboots on each other's throats. Fucking assholes. As a human thing. But there's also great things and inspiring things. So we're a mixed up thing. But there's actually an older tradition before even anything electric, right? I'm making your own shit, making music because of that. Mr. Parch, were you aware of him then? Harry Parch? California guy?
Yeah, I was aware of him, and even I think... Is it before Parch was like Schaefer, Pierre Schaefer, who I learned about?
Yeah.
And Henri.
I got turned on to him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was, as people started hearing kind of what I was doing, they would turn me on to stuff like that. I think with Parch, I probably, if it wasn't Ingram Marshall who turned me on to him, it would have been right around that period.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
Okay. And then he was instrumental in your thing. Yeah. Nobody's in a vacuum, right?
Right, and another person who just crazy influential would have been like the sports pieces by Zorn.
Oh yeah, he's an incredible force energy.
Yeah, and
he also helps a lot of other
in the Residents.
I gotta say, Mr. Zorn also helps a lot of other musicians.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's an important part because that's how you build community.
Yeah.
It's not just getting on the fucking guest list. Right? What is to be done? What was your first live performance?
I've been thinking about that since we first broached doing this. And for the life of me, I have no idea. Just
Randolph, it's the Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm just curious.
I've racked my brain and
I'm just curious.
I just idea what BBC's first show was.
No, you only have a first show once, so that's why I asked that stuff. I
know that it would have been either in the Czar Bar or the Hot House in Chicago, in one of those two venues.
Was it Man Alone?
No. I think the first iteration of Carnival de Carnitas was with Bridget Wilson.
Duet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it a success?
Yes.
Yeah, great. Were you scared?
I'm still scared.
Well, I am too, man. Every fucking gig after 40, 50 years. But I ask people that. A lot of cats, you know, they got balls like church bells. The ladies do, you know, as a metaphor, you know, as like, yeah, I was born to do this. Why should I be scared? I'm like, fuck. I just want to be with my friend. So that's why I asked that of you. We're at the end, first hour of September 24, 2021. This is Wap Pedro, special guest, Randolph Carter. Hold tight for hour two. September 24, 2021, second hour, Wap Pedro Show.
I'm well today.
Hush.
Classical 105.
My friend. Comedy.
Yeah, that's cool.
how your game went. Not good. Just want to not... Hey, I'm sleeping up.
Thank you. I'm
It's Econo.
Pedro Show. Start off the second hour. Aim Fire. With the... That's a weird P, yeah. Una Flava, Floiva Mout Year at a Glance. One kind of lame year. And then Ben Salter from A Tasmania You're Losing. Lucas Abel from nearby Sydney with Pancake Face, brand new. And then SPP, Black Toa Lang. So I got to know about these projects. Like, well, you spoke a little bit about the Carnival Carnitas. But what's the Versus? What's the Orso? What's the Amphira? What's the SPP?
The Versus pieces are essentially solo compositions for field recordings. And what that piece is essentially performed, it's composed for a Kurzweil K2000 that I used to have that.
Those used to be the big daddies, right?
Oh yeah. An amazing instrument, pre-computer. And
polyphonic,
I was able,
right?
Hmm?
Polyphonic, because synthesizers were, yeah, like horns. Well, they didn't have to be, but the ones hooked up to the keyboards, right?
Right. Well, and the thing about, so I had the keyboard K2000, and I could assign every single key a different sound.
Yeah,
so I had a full keyboard, and every key was a different field recording. There might be a few seconds or up to a minute or two.
Yeah, like a modern Mellotron.
Right. So these pieces, so those pieces are compositions that are, I'm playing the keyboard.
Yes, sir.
But they, you know, if I hold down a particular key, it will just kind of repeat a particular sound. So it's just layering essentially. I think part of the conceit of those pieces was it was essentially my instrument was performing the sounds of my life.
Yeah, of course. What else? No, just kidding. Go ahead.
So,
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. So Orso is a band. I don't know if Phil Spirito, the bass player from Rex, that was his solo project, and we worked at the same company in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he would hear me doing my stuff down in the basement after hours.
Yeah.
And on his first record, they'd done all sorts of studio wizardry that he couldn't perform. He couldn't replicate those sounds live. So when they did their first tour in late 90s, he asked me if I would go along with them.
So like a side man.
Yeah. So I just was kind of a hired gun for a bunch of tours and ended up As You Will on tour, like kind of playing on new material that's being tested, and ended up we still record periodically together, and so that's just a band that I've been in and out of doing my stuff, my field recordings, my sounds for a couple decades.
But also his stuff, right?
Yeah, he's the primary composer. I enjoy having just being a hired gun, just being somebody who's there to play other people's music a lot of times.
Randolph, I understand. I think taking turns is really good. If you're going to ask somebody direction, why don't you learn how to take direction, right? That's what I've learned. So it's good to keep, like Shakespeare, right? It's a stage, and we got different roles and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever fucking wrote that shit. But what about Amphira?
Amphira. I've never tried to pronounce it.
Okay.
You're the first person, as far as I know, who's ever tried to pronounce that.
I told you, when I get beyond words, we won't have to use that. I'll just put the thoughts in the fucking head.
That is from, that idea of your own life as your instrument.
Yeah.
So the folks who kind of make up the three people who make up the Museum of Viral Memory, we came up with a plan in the late 90s to compose 20-some pieces of music for 1 year of field recordings. And then one of our members from, I think September 2000 to September 2001 wore mics with recording gear on his body for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for a full year.
Whoa.
And then we spent years,
So you're hearing pissing noises, shitting noises?
Yes. Yeah.
And how's he getting the fucking tub?
Huh? How can you tell?
No, how does he get in the fucking tub or a shower?
Takes it off and puts it in the
sink. Ah, so he takes them off. He does take
it. Yeah, you got to take it off to put it on the sink.
Because you said 24/7 for a year, so I was thinking, Jesus.
he was a really smelly dude. No.
Okay, and SPP?
So SPP is kind of similar to Orso, same job. Another band was rehearsing down in that space, and their keyboardist, Nobu Stowe, heard me doing my thing, and asked, and we started a jazz band together, and...
SPP is an acronym?
It has stood, that particular jazz band put out, I think we put out 7 releases, and none of them were under the same name.
Oh, they were all under. That'd be too easy. Look, yeah. I want to play something here. My special porpoise. A little pun rock, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. since then.
For Pedro shows a chunk of music, my special porpoise, season one, episode one, track one. Kissy Bashy after that, those days are gone. And then Sleepwalks with Royals. Explain, please.
My special porpoise is a side project with the leader of Orso, so that's Phil,
right?
And members of the MVM, and the idea behind that project, we're now recording season four, but the idea was, we were curious what would happen if, like, HBO style TV shows like Game of Thrones or Foundation or Sopranos, these big
yeah,
ideas.
Shit that Watt never watches.
Right. What if those, what if you started with the Foley, like the sound effects and the soundtrack first? So we composed, a 10 episode first season soundtrack with all of the sound effects and Foley, and then shopped it around in Hollywood.
Of course.
To various producers, just friends that I have in Los Angeles, got us meetings with a variety of folks at Showtime and Silver Entertainment and just a bunch of other rando producers.
It's not who you know, it's who you blow.
Yeah. Well, and in this case, it didn't even matter who we blew because everyone was really nice. We had a lot of pleasant conversations, and then everybody would be like, yeah, this is ridiculous. It's impossible. So all of that material is available copyright free for anyone on earth who would like to, if they would like to conceive of a big epic TV to use as the foundation. So we wanted the music to be the starting point, the sound to be the starting point for a show.
I think it's a great idea of media, different kinds of expression informing others. But you know, my third opera is based on paintings from this Dutch guy 500 years ago. Why? You know what I mean? It doesn't always be a jam from the prac pad or trying to copy something off the karaoke machine. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 24, 2021, edition of Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Randolph Carter. Hold tight for hour three. September 24, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Started the third hour. Sentimental Witches. Great name. Great prize. Collapsing Ode to Singing Bull. Flight Mash Fleet from Lumbalo Sacraments. Cursed Injection. Copyright from James Twig Harper and Rubber O Cement. That Brutal Sound Effects group.
Mm-hmm.
And then First Symphony and Second Symphony from Homo Hubris. Yeah, that's a problem with this species. Homo Hubris. Notice humility and hubris both start with hue, but then it goes sour.
Right.
You know, this cat, John Coltrane, was doing this interview with the Dutch guy. And he asked him, who's your favorite tenor player? He goes, all of them. You know, like the guy just started out. Oh, fuck. So tell me about Sentimental Witches. No, we didn't get to Sleepwalks.
Sleepwalks is a project with Andrea Williams, who you had on.
That's right.
A month or two ago. That's a project pre-pandemic. We would set up in usually performance, like gallery spaces, performance spaces, sometimes lofts, and we invite an audience to come in around 8 p.m. and sleep throughout the night, and we play from 8 to 8, mixing field recordings.
12-hour gig.
Yeah. Okay. And then the audience has little flashlights with like red light covers on them, and they get notebooks and pencils. If they wake up, they're supposed to write down their dreams.
Do they have conch sacks?
Yeah, everybody brings, and we try to provide bedding so that people are comfortable.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, the first hour of the morning, there's no talking. Everybody is instructed to eat, drink coffee, and try to write down what they remember of their dreams. And the idea behind that project was to see if the compositions that we make, that we improvise out of just field recordings, how they impact dreaming. And we've been really lucky that we've been able to work with a sleep researcher. I think he's in San Diego now, but we met him because when he was at Stanford. And sometimes he can wire people up, and we can actually see exactly when somebody's dreaming, and see what sounds were played before they dreamt, and see how the sounds that were the compositions were making.
Yeah, the connects, how they relate. Yeah.
And the idea was that Andrea does a lot of sound walks, and we were wondering if it would be possible to lead a sound walk through someone's dreams.
Oh, that's bitchin'. What about Sentimental Witches?
That project, Collapsing, which is the first part of that track, is, the Brutal Sound Effects crew asked us if we would make a piece of music,
you were
for their little bootleg, for their awesome, amazing bootleg label.
You were commissioned.
I guess, yeah. and given how amazing, I mean, those are some of the most inspiring folks in the world. So
what was his name? Jake Rodriguez. He called it the costume noise scene.
Yeah, and they are amazing, amazing, amazing people. And
do one gig with them. It was very difficult. The costume and the bass was like some rail that was like 8 feet long. Look, I want to play. We got to move on.
They're incredible musicians.
They and beautiful people too, and very encouraging and inspiring by setting an example. I want to play this Una. It's this fucking title is huge, and so is the progeny. But I got to get to it because we're running out of time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show, starting off the last music for this edition. That new unknown odor, whose cause only a diseased fancy could envisage, from Una Person's Noise Orchestra performs her lunar magic with Jeff Goulet and Entresol. Graf from Netherlands at BTK after that. Requiem 4, finally. Or finally, Requiem 4 from Eugene Dead's Difficult Music Ensemble. You said something to me in an email about that. Is this your current thing, Eugene Dead's
Difficult Ensemble? Yeah, that's we actually perform around Eugene, and we're working on a West Coast tour when COVID hits. So.
Yeah, right. No, just postpone it. You're going to get to
it. Yeah. We're still working on it.
That's what the vaccinations are for. You know, whatever. Charlie Christian, 25 years old. Tuberculosis gets him because he didn't have the vaccine yet. Right? Anyway,
yeah,
I didn't mean to get sidetracked. What about Homo Hubris? If that name is too good not to talk about.
So a lot of these pieces are a beginning and an end. So like with the First Symphony and Second Symphony, that piece with Homo Hubris, that's actually a piece of Musique Concrète in the right channel, which is the First Symphony. And then over the last couple years, I've been working with virtual orchestras just in software. And so the left channel is the First Symphony, but transcribed from field recordings.
Yeah.
Two instruments. So I use, I'll assign each of the field recordings and a symphonic instrument.
Yeah.
And then transcribe the field recording for that instrument. And that's actually what the collapsing, singing bowl is we took the piece for the Brutal Sound Effects crew and we essentially ran it through the Mantovani or Andre Kostolanets machine and converted it into easy listening version.
But this idea of the stereo having different, talk about manifesting a juxtaposition.
Yeah.
And this one with the long thing, Una Person's Noise Extra. Yeah.
That is Jeff and Entresol sent us stems. And
stems
we
are like submixes, people. It's not pieces of plants. It's like submixes. So instead of getting kick, snare, tom, overheads.
Right,
it's
right,
drum set. Yeah.
So they sent us those pieces, and we then mixed them in. We threw them through the we call it the Noizak machine because it's Muzak for noise, and we threw it through the Noizak machine, turned it into an orchestral score, and then layered their works, the original stems, in with the symphony.
Oh,
so
man.
That's just one movement.
No, but that's a beautiful thing. Mr. Cage, the idea of the concept being having some weight when it comes to expression through music is great. It's great. It seems that's a big thing with you, which I love. What are we listening to? Get out of cruise control. Be awake. Be aware. I love it. We need more cats like you, Randolph, truly. Big honor. Whenever you want to be on the show, invitation open. You get this new stuff. You get the Eugene band back together. Come back on, please.
We're recording that Requiem, which is made with virtual instruments. We're actually recording it with our proper instruments and real vocalists.
Sure, sure. When you get it, come back on.
When that's ready, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you so much. It's beautiful having you aboard. You're a big inspiration. So I want you to keep on keeping on. People, it's been the September 24th, 2021 Dish Wapito Show. Keep your powder dry.